The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wonderful, wackadoodle, what's happening? Jesus is happening Wednesday as we move our minds and hearts of faith up one more because it's louder. First up, God is not the Grinch or any other ridiculous image that we have thrust upon him because of bad authority figures we've experienced. Next, do we think we could or should do a better job as God does, or are we good enough to be on God's equal plane in doing stuff? I think we know the answer is not a snowball's chance in H-E-double-L hockey sticks, so that's a firm negative, right? And finally, it comes down to a single moment and a single decision and a single mustard seed. What will we decide?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. And yes, that was a long introduction. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities. And oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You know how you do that? You let us know by texting us, 214-210-8483, or you can call. Now, I will tell you today that wonderful Jennifer is on the board because terrific Tiara, it's her birthday. And so she gets the day off, which is kind of nice. Do you get a day off, Jennifer, when it's your birthday? Do you get take time off, too?
I do not.
Yeah, I don't either. So, you know, I'm kind of wondering about this.
We're not a specialist Tiara, I guess.
All right. So we're not the specialty. We're just...
Yeah, there we go.
That's how it's going to be. Here it is. Keep in mind that if you call, we will do our best to get you on the phone. Now, keep in mind, every once in a while, I hit the buttons and I hit them wrong. So, you know, that's just part of life. If you text, I will do my best to read your text or respond, or if it's pertinent to do so. You can do a prayer request. And I will say, and we're going to talk about this in just a second, but I will say somebody sent me a beautiful email the other day, and we're going to talk about that wonderful person. That's Leanne Silver, Sylvie. Did I say that right? Sylvie. You know, if I'm saying your name wrong, you know how sorry I am. But anyway, I'm just going to talk about something she said that I thought was fantastic. So I'm going to kind of take her thunder and share it with the people. But you can do that for prayer requests, praise reports. You can do it for pop questions, which we've taken before, and also trivia, which everybody seems to really enjoy. So let's just start off with a simple trivia. Okay. I know she's going to text me. You said my name wrong. I'm sorry. Here we go. How did the prophet Elijah travel to heaven? How'd he get there? You know he didn't take BOAC. They're no longer in business. And TWA. I don't think he took transport. How'd he get there? All right. If you know the answer, you can call in or you can text in. You can text 214-210-8483. Look at her go. It's like Jennifer's at home. She's just having a good time.
I am.
All right. Leanne Sylvie. Or no, it's Sylvie or Sylvie. So if I'm saying your name wrong, you know, when you see me on Sunday, just smack me. It's okay. Anyway, she sent this beautiful email. I'm not going to read you the whole thing, but I will tell you this. One, she's going to be there Sunday. I'm speaking Sunday at Stillwater Community Church, and I'm excited to do so. We'll be at the 9 o'clock and the 11 o'clock service. I'll be speaking in both of those. I don't do much there except for this. This will be something that I'm doing, and I promise you this message will have impact on your life. But what I thought was cool in the email is she had said that she had texted me a few weeks back, and we had prayed for her mom on the air, And she touched base with her mom not long after that. And this is what she wrote in the email. She said, "It was sweet. I appreciate it very much. She called me about an hour later after she woke up, and she felt like a different person. She had no idea about the prayer, but it was touched her, and she just wanted to share that." See, the thing is, you and I, we pray often, and this whole message today is about this. We pray often, and most of the time we throw it up there and we go, "Boy, I hope something happens." There's very little expectation. And what we need to do is change our level of expectation. Change our level. If you are operating at a 6 in regards to your expectation, we need to move that to a 9. You need to be one of those people that's like going, "I'm going to pray, watch this, and I'm going to actually do this bizarre thing. I'm going to believe that God is going to answer my prayer." So I just want you to be aware that sometimes you call in or you text in, and we pray for people. We pray for you. We pray for people you know. People text me on a pretty regular basis. And you know what? The Lord answers some of those. So I encourage you to do it. Because not because of me. It's because of all of us taking our little itty-bitty pieces of faith and putting them together, and then between all of us bringing it before the Lord. And then the Lord's like, "Bingo!" Although he probably doesn't say bingo, unless he got the O on like a row 37. Okay? That's how that works. All right, so keep in mind our trivia question. As you know, Elijah, how did he travel? How did he get to heaven? If you think you know the answer, text it in, call it in. We're going to get right into our teaching. Again, we want to thank Jennifer for stepping up and stepping in the open space for Tierra, who it's her birthday. But Jennifer is a pro.
But really, you had no other choice.
And I had no other choice because I could have done this differently. We could have done a replay, but that would have been boring.
Yeah.
All right. We got that coming up. You know, I'm never supposed to tell them we're doing replays. You know that.
No,
I'm
you're not. Shh.
Yeah. I'm doing a replay Friday because no one else has a procedure. But don't tell anybody.
Okay, we won't.
All right. Here we go. Mark chapter 11, verse 20 through 24. Is she fun or what? In the morning, as they went along, they saw a fig tree withered from the roots. Remember this portion? Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "Truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore," ready? "I tell you," ready? "Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it. And it will be yours." Can I tell you that when Jesus was teaching people about prayer and about faith, there is a wonderful connection to expectation. Does this mean that you can pray and just get the lotto numbers? No, stop that. Stop that. That, you know, that's got nothing to do with it. This has to do with Christians in their journey, in the things they face, the things they need, the things they encounter, the struggles they go through, the ups, the downs, the sideways, all of that. But there should be this level of expectation that a lot of us, when we pray, it's more going through the motions than it is expecting an answer to prayer. I just want to point this out. I want to show you this little story in Luke chapter 5. This is basically verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. It says, "On one day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat." Okay? Sounds good. "When he finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch.'" Now, why I want to bring that up is because Jesus is telling Simon, who is a fisherman, guess what? You're going to have a catch. Something is going to happen. Now, Jesus being at the Sea of Galilee when this took place, this is in Tiberias, it's a kind of an instant amphitheater. This is the same place where Jesus walked on water. It's the same place where he fed the 5,000, same place where the boat went through the storm, and it's the same place where Peter was restored. So a lot of history in this particular place. So he turns to Peter and he says, "Hey, put your net out so you're going to get something." What I want to tell you is that there are times where the Lord challenges you and I to put our nets out. so that we can, get this, get a catch. Now, there's some people that will say, and I don't know where this comes from, who says, well, you know, when you pray, you can't really ask for anything. It's got to be more like, you know, just give me your character and so on and so forth. Well, first of all, Jesus never taught that. Jesus taught quite clearly, give us this day our daily bread. So that's just, you know, hooey. You just forget that stuff. But when we're praying, there should be a belief. There should be a confidence. There should be this time where you bring this prayer before the Lord and you don't demand it of the Lord. And that's where my Pentecostal and charismatic friends have kind of lost their minds. Right there. Because look it, you guys know I'm a Baptist, right? Got the Baptist, got the Pentecostal. This is where the Pentecostals go boop because it's like, I demand that you give it to me. You don't demand anything from God. That's God. You ask, right? If my son, who's going to be 37 in December, comes to my house and demands something, he will walk out with one leg stuck somewhere else on his body. Because that's how it is between a father and a son. You don't go to your father and tell him what's going to happen. You ask him. Hey, Dad, can I borrow this? Dad, can I do this? Can we do this? Can we do this? Ask. But there should be a level of expectation. When my son comes to me and says, Dad, we are moving from this house to this house. I need a storage room. Do you think it would be all right if I use your garage? Can you park outside and da-da-da-da? And he's expecting me to respond. And I'm, of course, son, of course, I'd do anything for you, right? I mean, that kind of thing. My point is for you and I to move the 6 to a 9. You know what a 6 is, right? And you have little 6 and it's got the 0 at the bottom. I want you to flip it upside down. And I want you to move your expectation higher. Why? Because that's what God wants you to do. Because God wants you to have this greater sense of receiving and anticipation. Now, again, because I am a Baptist, I don't like the, you know, ask for a boat, ask for a Ferrari. Yeah, go ahead. Okay, you're not going to get that stuff, okay? That's not what we're talking about. But the things that you're encountering, things you go through in life, and the things that are connected to you, you can ask for. The Lord is right there. He can say no, by the way, but you can ask. And when you ask, don't throw it up there like you're throwing something against the wall and just hoping it sticks. I'm going to throw this against the wall, see what happens. Okay? That's what people like me do. It's a dumb idea. Instead, I should be like, Lord, you know, I need to grow in this and I need to understand this. And man, I got to be a better husband, a better father, and a better this and a better this. And I got to run 5 extra minutes on the treadmill and I need your help. And the Lord says, yes. That's how I look at that. All right. All right. The answer to the question, the trivia question, how did Elijah travel up to heaven? In a whirlwind. In a whirlwind. Ooh. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
A big portion of being guided is asking, prayer, when you're praying with people, fellowship amongst other people can lead you to guidance. It's happened on more than one occasion for me. Counsel is obviously very good, both spiritual and not necessarily biblical. Also, practical counsel is good. Circumstances often speak to us and give us guidance. Open doors, or for that fact, closed doors. We know His word gives us guidance. We know in 2 Corinthians 2:13 and 14, Paul said that he used peace of mind as an aspect of guidance. These are all the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us. Is, of course, the number one element for guidance is to be led by the Spirit, right? These are all hugely important.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Amazing Grace. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't forget, you can go to livinginhisgrip.com, get some of our music for free. That's a good thing to know. Let's get into our next trivia question. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, creatures of all ages and sizes, How many men did Nebuchadnezzar see walking in the fiery furnace? How many men did Nebuchadnezzar see walking in the fiery furnace? If you know the answer, 214-210-8483. Or you can call us directly, 972-445-0770. How many men walking in the fiery furnace? There you go. I like the music. Good job. It's nice. I haven't heard that for a long time. Now, if I could only do the full thing and do it all properly and give all the right answers and give all the right, say the questions the right way, I'd really, I'm so far from that. It's not funny. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. That is a wonderful place. There is actually a kitchen sink. No. There's actually a kitchen sink on the website. There's a picture of a kitchen sink. And then there are stars for a battleship. On the web, this is the kind of stuff we put in there. There is testimony, there is video, there is audio, and there's also information, by the way, on the speaking event that's going to take place this Sunday, 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock service in Rowlett. If you can't make it, which we would fully understand, since in Rowlett, most people are going, "Where's that?" Okay, you know where Rockwall is? Like, where's that? Okay, you know, like Ray Hubbard is.
Big lake.
The big lake. That's all you got. So around that area. So if you can't do it, though, 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock on Facebook and on YouTube Live. So it'll be on there. You have a chance to listen if you feel comfortable. Got people texting in on the answers. How many people did Nebuchadnezzar see in the fiery furnace? We're going to answer that at the end of the segment. But don't forget to go to hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. It's a great place to give if you want to support the ministry, but it's also just a great place to connect with us, and you have an opportunity to drop us a note if you want to. You can email us as well at hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry, and YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Before we go back to our text, we need to make sure we cover the historical elements of this day. And these are the very important things that I always tell you folks that you need to remember so you can get through your day with stuff that means nothing, because if you turn on the news, you're just going to get depressed. And instead, you want to be active in the good news. And then there's also useless news. That's what this is.
Useless news.
Yay.
There you go. Today is National Lasagna Day. I mean, come on.
Yum.
I'm like, come on, how's that bad? It's like got a Garfield connection. National Chicken Wing Day. I think that's pretty amazing. For those that are big fans of the Lord of the Rings kind of movies and books, The Fellowship of the Ring, the first part of the Lord of the Rings trilogy, was published on this day in 1954. Long time ago, huh? And then I thought this was fascinating. This was one of those things that really caught me off guard. In 1989, on this day, the first 8-foot high jump, Cuban high jumper Javier Sotomayor cleared 8 feet 0 inches. I can barely high jump 8 inches, let alone 8 feet. 8 feet. You have to think about that, right? Think about somebody standing underneath a basket. A basket is at 10 feet, right? So he's like going, whoop! And even though whether he's doing the Fonzarelli flop or not, just think about that.
I wonder if he hurt something.
I'm hurting just thinking about it right now. I'm hurting. I'm in pain. It's like, what? Who does that? Who does that? All right, let's get back into our back in our text. Our question, by the way, how many people did Nebuchadnezzar see in the fiery furnace? We've got answers coming in. We will address that at the end of the segment. We're talking about moving your 6 to a 9. And you're thinking, that sounds so silly. Okay, but the number 6, if you flip it upside down, it becomes a 9, right? That's where your and my faith expectation places need to be. Here's one of the detriments that takes place in the Christian faith. So we were just talking about Jesus being at the lake of Gennesaret, and he's said to Simon, put out into deep water and put your nets out for a catch. Right? That's the divine encouragement for expectation. Hey, you're going to get something. Okay? And I do want to say that some of you, when you do pray, you do have, this has happened to me quite a bit, so I'm going to say it probably has happened to a lot of you. You tend to get a kind of a stingy image of God, and you got to think of God as not the Grinch, okay? God's not the Grinch. He's not trying to steal Christmas. He's not a killjoy. He's just not going to give you something that's going to hurt you, okay? All right. In verse 5, after Jesus said, put your nets out, look at what Peter said. Peter said, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. This, my friends, this is the cry of humanity. We have worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. By the way, Peter is a fisherman. Okay, he is somebody who understands water, understands how to get fish. It's part of his job. Him, Peter, and Andrew, James, and John, they were partners. Did you know that? The four of them were partners. And so Peter and his brother, Andrew, it's like, wowzer, you want me to throw out a net, and we've worked hard all night, and nothing has happened. If that is not the express cry of humanity, I don't know what is. That is disappointment. And what that is hope deferred. The Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. You ever see, I'm just assuming that some of you have watched at one point or another in your lifetime Saturday Night Live. Okay, especially back in the 70s and 80s when it was actually a funny show before nobody with talent, before they changed it. Anyway, there was a classic skit about Santa Claus being sick. And you know who took Santa Claus' place? Did you know who it was? It was Hanukkah Harry. Hanukkah Harry came in. And so the kids were all excited. And it's, oh my, it's Santa Claus. And instead of Santa Claus, it was Hanukkah Harry. And you know what Hanukkah Harry brought the kids for Christmas presents? Socks and pencils. That was their Christmas dinner.
Because what kid doesn't want that?
What kid does not wake up and think, it's Christmas, it's time for socks and pencils? But see, that's how some of you and I act. That's how we act from time to time, because God is not doing the Santa Claus thing, and we kind of feel like it's Hanukkah Harry. And here's the problem with that. We, as a people, We love the Lord. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. It's not that we don't love the Lord. It's not that we don't love being saved. It's not that we don't think that the coolest thing ever is that Jesus died on that cross. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again. And by our genuine, continual faith in him, we have everlasting life. But when we're engaging with God on a day-to-day basis, his methods and his timing are like, huh? We look at it and we think, what? And here's the real crux of that. When Martha and Mary, in John 11, when Lazarus had died, Mary and Martha both said the same thing to Jesus. Well, you know, if you'd have been here, that's the spirit. Well, if you'd have been here. Well, Lord, if you'd have just done this, if only you'd have done this, it would have turned out this way. And what the Lord wants you to do is not do that, not say that, not think that. First of all, God knows every which way it can and cannot turn out. And that's part of our trust in his sovereignty. That's part of our trust in his faithfulness. That's part of our trust in his goodness. And you may not understand the methodology. You may not understand his timing, but you can have faith in the quality of God. And some of us have a very poor faith in the quality of God. He knows when that answer needs to come for you, how that answer needs to be delivered, and the majority of the time in my 42 plus years as a Christian is my theory was not even close to how God wanted to do it or how God was going to bring it about. See, I have something that takes place in my mind where I think, Lord, I need you to provide. Let's just use the ministry, for example. Lord, I need you to provide for the ministry or we won't be able to pay and so on and so forth. So you hear me come on here and at the end of the month, I'm always going, yeah, we're getting close. Hey, we're getting close. You hear the same thing all the time. But the Lord already knows this stuff. This isn't like God going, oh, I didn't know. Dave's running low on finances. Somebody should have sent the alarm. That is not how this goes. Or this relationship, Lord, didn't work out the way I thought it is. Or this person's not being very nice. And the Lord's like, oh, no, I didn't even realize that. That's how we act. He knows. He'll take care of it. He'll coordinate. He'll work with us. He'll connect with us. But it's not based on our methodology, and it's not based on our timing. That's what trust is all about. It's believing that God has your best interests in mind, even if you can't see what's going on. Okay? All right. All right, let's give the answer. How many people did Nebuchadnezzar see? Four. He saw four. Put three in there, but there was four in there. Pretty interesting, right? All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water, and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven, and that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Then they complained to Moses, against Moses and Aaron, and they said, it had been better for us to die in Egypt or even here in the wilderness. Their theory in that thought process is they're thinking, it'd be better for us if we just died in the wilderness or back in Egypt where we know where things were at, as opposed to going to a new land and being consumed by these big people. This is a terrible idea. There's some commentators that believe that their complaining really has to do with they thought it would be better to die over time in the wilderness or over time in Egypt versus going to the land and being immediately killed by these big people. And they were bumming. And look what they said. Wouldn't it be better to go back to Egypt? How quick we forget what the bondage is once you're out. Oh, how quickly do you forget the bondages that God brought you through once you're away from it? I don't remember being that bad.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
And if you can't shout sight, you'll have to face up.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Want to give a big shout out to Jennifer for running the board, doing a fantastic job. She said, now I'll jinx her. So if something happens,
it's my fault.
It is. It'll be your fault.
You've been absolved. There it is. For those who want to reach out to us, you can call us at 972-445-0770. You can also text us, as we've been getting texts, 214-210-8483. You know, you can do praise reports and prayer requests. Here is the next trivia question. David's occupation before he fought Goliath. David had a different job. What was his occupation? You might even say, what did his dad make him do? That might be fair as well. So if you think you know, you can text in 214-210-8483. You can still call. Jennifer can handle the phones. She's right on it. If that phone rings, she's there. Okay? She's Jennifer on the spot. Bam! 972-445-0770. What was the occupation of David before he faced Goliath? So we're talking, obviously, early on. Don't forget, Sunday I'll be speaking. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. hemustincrease.org. If you go there and you go, you know, I'm really sensing a need and a desire to give, then I would respond to that. But if you don't want to, you can just check out the website and have a good time. We would like that as well. But certainly, according to 1 Corinthians 1:11 and Romans 15:30, join in our struggle by praying for us. We would greatly appreciate it. Our email, david@hemustincrease.org, Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry, and YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. So a lot of times on Wednesdays, I kind of go to a theme, and we're kind of going to follow this theme on expectation and on faith and raising them up, because there's nothing better than that. I will forewarn you, on Monday, I believe it is, we're going to be discussing a hot topic. Now, you wonder what a hot topic is? Global warming. See that? But see how there was a joke there? Hot top.
Yes.
Hot.
Good job. Okay. Good job.
Okay. It's not a lot of people are going to catch that. I'm just saying. I just want to point that out. Okay. Now we got them all pouring in, all the answers pouring in. And that's what we like. We love it when people engage with us. Okay. So what we have been discussing and what is important for you and I to operate in our Christian faith, in the practicalities of our faith. I can talk to you about theological constructs all day long, or we can figure out how to do this better in the Lord and draw closer to the Lord. I think that's just a better play, and that's where we're heading. So the first thing you see in this story with Jesus and Peter in the boat, they're at the Sea of Galilee, same space where Jesus walked on water, 5,000 people fed, the storm with the boat, Peter was restored there, kind of an instant amphitheater there. Jesus says, put out your net. Peter goes, really? Okay. He probably said it differently, and I think that when they recall stories, there's a little bit maybe more of a awareness that they're writing Holy Writ and they want to communicate the story well. But you just have to think of Peter's mind. He's like, I just spent 9 hours trying to fish. I caught nothing, and you're telling me to put the net out again. There's that sense where we go through that, and it's a little bit of a hope deferred. But look at his response in the next portion. And this is what needs to be our response, right? After he said, we've worked hard all night, haven't caught anything, the next part of Luke 5:5 says, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they had cut such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled for their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. This is where people say, well, I don't know how God could ever bless me to the point of it being beyond what I can handle. This is a perfect example. Okay, there's two boats, there's partners, there's Peter and Andrew, and there's James and John. They're out there fishing. They've caught nothing. It's been a pretty tough night. Jesus has put out the nets. They catch so much fish after obeying Jesus yet again. And you know that in the back of their minds, I've done this 100 times tonight. Nothing's happened. And then, bam, the fish comes, right? There's so much fish that one boat can't handle it, and two boats are getting swamped. If there was more fish, the boats would have sank. They'd have lost all the fish. So there was just so much. And that is the big key at that moment. Even though there's this expectation call from the Lord to us to do better and to walk better and to be better in our faith with him, and there's an honest response, you know, it's not going that great, Lord. I'm not sure what's going on. I'm not sure what to do. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. That's it. That's the moment where there's this small decision that's made. That's the moment where your small mustard seed faith counts. This is the moment where you and I decide to trust God. Get this. Regardless of what we see. You see, God's word is gold. It is more steady than the earth and its foundation. Now just think about that. You never think about how stable the planet is when you're walking on it. You're just assured that it's in gravitational flux and it's right where it needs to be, and the moon is 23.5 degrees off and it keeps it in perfect rotation and everything's exactly the way it needs to be towards every other planet, so it sustains life. Sure, it's an accident. Anyhow, so the idea there is that God's word is gold, and our walk is supposed to be by faith. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And too often the circumstance, even if it's a long circumstance, gets beyond us and the best of us. And so Jesus says, put your net out. And Peter goes, oh, all right, well, because you say, I'll do it. And then he puts the net out, and the blessing is beyond what he could expect. He wasn't even expecting any fish. And he got more fish than they could handle. And then you get into this place where you understand Job in the moments that he has in some of his discourse when he's talking about the process he's going through. You know, it's saying that, you know, in truth, because of the quality of God, though God slay me, yet will I trust him. There's a requirement that we believe. that we stand firm in that belief. Ephesians 3, 20 through 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Accordingly, this is based on God's ability to give. And yet we are such a goofy people. That's right, we are. That we pray a prayer and we don't even believe. You think, I don't know, is that biblical? Let's see who else did that exact same thing in the book of Acts. Verse Acts 12:5. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying for him. Who was praying for Peter? The church. Where was Peter? In prison. Who was praying for him? The church. That's Acts 12:5. Here's Acts 12:14 and 15. She recognized Peter's voice, and she was so overjoyed, she ran back and opened it and exclaimed, "Peter's at the door." And then the disciples said, "You're out of your mind." So here's the disciples praying that Peter would get out of jail. God answers the prayer. Peter goes to where the disciples are. Rhoda goes to the door. It's Peter's voice. She runs back. It's Peter. It's Peter. He's at the door. And they go, "You're nuts. What do you think's going on here? Miracles?" It's like, this is what the church was praying for. And they didn't even believe that God answered it. And God had answered, delivered Peter right to the door. They were such shocked when Peter came in, he had to put his finger up to his mouth and like go, shh. But that's how we are. Yeah, we're going to pray to the Lord. Let's get the church together. Let's pray. Everybody get together and pray. Oh, God, we ask you to do this. And then God does it. They're like going, really? Did that happen? Come on. That was coincidence. You see how that works? You ever done that? You ever prayed for something and then it happens and you're like, what luck? It's like, wait, didn't you pray? And that's part of the problem. So it comes down to this moment where you have to make a decision that even though you don't understand his methodology and his timing, which you don't, that you trust him enough to say, even though I haven't caught any fish and nothing good's going on this whole net scenario and I'm not seeing anything come of it, I'll do it again. Because that's what you want. And people go, you know, Dave, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. No, it's not. That's not the definition. It's never been. The DSM book never says that. It's doing destructive behavior and repeating that and thinking that destructive behavior will then produce good results. That's the definition of insanity, by the way. If it wasn't so, nobody would ever diet more than once. Nobody would ever try and quit smoking more than once. Everybody would speed 95 miles an hour and never try and go the speed limit. It's just like dumb thinking. And you get people that talk like they're authoritative. Well, no, that's what it says. That's not what it says. It's not what it is. This is wrong. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is you make this momentary decision to trust God, even though you haven't seen the fish come, believing that the fish will come. You prayed for Peter to get out. Well, then let's believe when he knocks at the door that it's him and it's an answer to prayer. That'd be novel, huh? David's occupation before he slew Goliath, he was a shepherd boy. He was a shepherd. Folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I have wondered about him. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He's married to his best friend Noel, has 3 children, 6 grandchildren, plus a dog named Levi. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and is a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theological studies, and is involved in a PhD program. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people will have to listen to find out.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I do want to let you know, if you want to reach the show, 214-210-8483. People have been texting in. You can also call. I don't think if you call, the phone will give you a shock. So I think you might be okay.
And I won't bite.
And then Jennifer won't bite. By the way, doing a fantastic job today. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
I appreciate it. Here is the next trivia question. Kind of, it's an actual question, but it doesn't take a lot to think it through, especially if you consider mankind. Who was the first person in the Bible to take a nap? Who was the first person in the Bible to take a nap? It does not count if you are thinking it could be me while you're listening to this show. That is not the Bible answer. Might be an answer, just not the Bible answer. So you can call 972-445-0770. You can also text us 214-210-8483. First person in the Bible to take a nap. Interesting. Website, hemustincrease.org. Hemustincrease.org. Email, david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. And YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Don't forget, tomorrow we're doing our expository Thursday on Philippians. And it's a very, very, very cool text. So I'm pretty happy about that. I mean, I was reviewing it today. And somebody's calling in on the question, who's the first person to take a nap? And Jen's got the phone. In general, she's doing a great job. So we really appreciate that. She's really helping out. So here we go. We ready? We think we're ready? And she's looking at me, and she's looking at the thing. Well, no, so she's still talking. Okay, maybe they wanted pepperoni. I don't know. Okay, here we go. Ready? Here we go. Getting excited. Ready? Okay, there's the phone. This is David. Who am I talking to?
I'm just gonna, June.
I'm sorry, say that again?
June.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. I'm just going to guess. I could be wrong.
Okay, you know what? It's okay to guess because at least you're trying and you're working your way into it and trying to figure out what the scriptures might be, and that's a positive. There's nothing negative about that whatsoever. So give me a guess, and then I'll lead you. If it's the wrong place, we'll lead it. We'll get there together. Who do you think was the first person?
Noah?
No, but that's an excellent guess, by the way. I just want to point out that's an excellent guess. All right, I want you to go way, way back. What happened in order for God to bring out Eve?
Oh, he put Adam to sleep.
That's correct. There it is. There it is. Adam put a deep nap, deep sleep, took a nap, and God went, aha!
Well, I knew that one, but I wasn't thinking of nap and sleep the same word.
I know.
Right.
That's why I had some fun with it. But good job.
Thank
Excellent.
You for the hint. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Great job, right? Solid. Wow, I love it. I love it when people call in. I love when people text. It was a little unfair on my part. I acknowledge that. Sleep, nap. But he did take a nap. Just saying. That's right. We spare no expense on this show, right? We just pull out all the money stoppers, don't we?
Okay. We do, yes.
Okay. Yeah, people knew. You know, I think people know. It's not just a shoestring. Most of this radio show is a can with a string connected to other cans. So
you say that like it's a bad thing.
Yeah, good point. Really depends on what was in the can prior.
Exactly.
That's the big thing. All right. So we have been discussing this faith expectation, this faith level, and it's very important for you and I in our actual practical engagement with God to, you know, step up a notch from here to there. That's not, I don't want you to get this wrong impression, and I know most of you don't get this impression, that we're trying to say there's no name it and claim it. There's no, you know, we're not trying to, you know, give a philosophy here. It's like, look, we're just looking at what Jesus said and trying to apply it. And a big part of that is that because we don't necessarily like God's methodology or timing, that we seem to get discouraged. It's kind of like any other person in your life where you ask them to do something and it gets done differently, and you're like, well, it's not how I had it in mind. The only difference is that God knows how to do it perfectly and the other people in your life don't. But here is something that's fascinating. I am going to do something. I am going to assume. I am going to believe. I am going to expect that the next couple of times you pray, you will step up your faith level of expectation. And I want you to see Peter's response to Jesus, the divine response and the human response that took place after the fish filled the boat. This is in Luke chapter 5, same text. It's verse 8. When Simon Peter saw, and this is referring to the boats being filled with all the fish, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Remember I said that James and John were partners with Simon and Andrew? Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up to shore, left everything, and followed him. The first thing to recognize is that God's work in your life and my life is astonishing. Okay? It's fascinating. The fact that God has answered your prayers and done fantastic things for you, and I'm not just talking financial. Do you know how many times God has saved your physical life and you don't even know it? This is like God is such a graceful and merciful and compassionate God. He's helping you out all the time on a regular basis. And his work is astonishing. And second, as the work of God is being revealed, isn't it funny how Peter feels unworthy because he's seeing the work of God happen? And you know why this is? It's because the closer you and I get to God, the more we recognize, yikes, I'm a mess. The closer in you get, the deeper in you go, the more reflective his glory becomes, and the more understanding you have of even your own sinfulness. And that's why Peter was like, get away from, I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough for this. Look at the divine commitment. After Jesus is told by Peter, go away from me, I'm not good enough. Jesus' response to Simon is, don't be afraid, I'm never going to leave you. We're going to work together. Isn't that so beautiful? And listen to what he's saying. Don't be afraid. Now, I know it's more than you can bear. I know that in your sinful self, you're like going, whoa, this is way past me. But Jesus goes, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm never going to leave you. We're going to work it together. That's the grace of God. He's never, you don't have to be afraid. You might not understand it all. You might not get it. You know he's holier than we are. You know he's awesome. You know his work is astonishing. So much so, we're not even worthy to, oh my goodness, we can't even look up. We'll just beat our breasts and look down because he's so cool. And that his commitment to us is, okay, don't be afraid. I'm not leaving you. And now we're going to work it together. And look at Peter and the other disciples, what their response is. Verse 11, they pulled up their boats on the shore, left everything and followed him. You know what they said? They said, nope, 100%. Well, we are 100% in. We are in this thing. We're in it. We're in it. We're in it. So the divine commitment is don't be afraid. I'm never leaving you. We're going to work it together. The human commitment is, Jesus, you are now our highest priority, period. We make 100% commitment to following you and to loving you at all times. Look at that exchange. Just in that one, those two verses, you see this magnificent divine human connection. This is the thing that God had in mind from the very beginning at the garden, that man would be so aware of how, and I'm not just talking about the sinfulness, I'm talking about how, just so aware of how astonishing God is, and that God's commitment is we're going to work it together, and that man's response might be 100% in. I'm all in this all day long. I just think this is fabulous. I think you're fabulous. I love it. Awesome. That is all that you need to petition when you talk to the Lord about. You don't have to be some big theologue. You don't have to come up with all these brilliant. You can just say to the Lord, you know what? I want to have a little more faith. I want to do a little bit better job of expecting. I'd love to have you work with me, and I really need to have a better commitment with you. That's it. You don't have to build a monument to it. Just be honest about it and bring it to your king. And your king will grant your request. That's all. Okay? All right. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 23-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.